premium pillow. Your 60-day money-back guarantee goes all the way through March 1st, 2020. That's now through December 25th. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special and use my promo code USA.
The U.S. Navy is allocating $22 billion to purchase new nuclear-powered so-called Virginia-class submarines. The service is seeking to maintain dominance over China's growing navy. The acting Navy Secretary Thomas Modley says the submarine force is fundamental to the power and reach of their integrated naval force. Those subs will be built at a Rhode Island shipyard, the first batch expected to be completed by 2025. A federal agency is offering assistance to areas still recovering from major disasters. Housing and urban development officials saying that they're giving more than $2.3 billion to 15 states and four American territories. The funds will be used to address seriously damaged homes and businesses and infrastructure after disasters that have occurred since 2017. Among those receiving the biggest grants, California, Florida, and Texas. And T-Mobile is out with the next generation of wireless service, the carrier announcing that it's launched America's first nationwide 5G network. The company says it covers over 200 million people across the nation. It all adds up to more than 1 million square miles, including much of rural America. The CEO calls it a huge step towards 5G for all. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolecounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Weather today is mostly cloudy and a high of 42. Chance of rain and snow and mostly cloudy tonight with a low of 30. Thursday, mostly sunny again, high of 42. Thursday night, partly cloudy. It looks like a slight chance of rain and snow on Friday, high of 45. And Friday night, partly cloudy. Going into Saturday, it's going to be sunny again with a high of 36. And we've got sunny skies again on Sunday, high of 45.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. We are excited today to talk to some folks, but I wanted to start first with talking about Giving Tuesday, which was yesterday. It's a global day of giving, and it started about 8 years ago or so. And throughout leading up to Giving Tuesday, I was posting different things on the Happy to Help Facebook page, highlighting all the various organizations that we've had on the show in the last couple years and all the good work that they are doing. Because if you want to give, you want to know something about what they're doing, and you want to be confident and comfortable in giving to a cause you care about. And that's what we aim to do with this show, is to highlight the people behind the nonprofits and doing the work and meeting with the needy and doing all these amazing things for people locally and globally. And so we've highlighted their different causes and pages on the Happy to Help Facebook page. So if you haven't checked it out, please do. And we've got videos, a library of videos of people that have been on, and we are on Facebook Live today as well. So with that, I will introduce our guest, Andy Stewart, who is the CEO of Autism Diagnostics Technologies. Welcome, Andy.
It's great to be here, Nicole. I'm so impressed with your operation.
Well, I try. I kind of just wing it. So whatever works, right? But I'm happy to have you here today because you have an extremely interesting and diverse background. And why don't we just start with that and start with your corporate career and how you've changed after you left your corporate world, and you've done a lot of interesting things, all in the medical diagnostic field, correct?
Yes. Actually, I spent 30 years at Johnson & Johnson, mostly in sales management and marketing management. After I met Carolyn in Dayton, Ohio, we were moved ultimately to Boston, Massachusetts, where we spent 20 years. And I worked in two different divisions in Boston for J&J. And then I was moved to Ethicon in Bridgewater on Route 22. And I spent the last 10 years of my career at Ethicon, serving as vice president of sales and on the management board of the company. So it was quite a blessed, let's say, career. I had 17 jobs in 30 years working for J&J, and quite a diverse background of assignments, from strategic planning to worldwide marketing vice president to in charge of revenue for Ethicon in the U.S. So it was quite a great experience. And I retired in 2003. I was diagnosed with a cancer at that time, and I decided that I should maybe change my life at that point. So I decided to retire from J&J, and my cancer was resolved, thankfully.
Wow.
But that led me into exploring medical device startups, which I've been engaged with since probably 2004. So I've had five different projects that I'm working. I have worked on one of them for 8 years. That's now in clinical trials.
Nice.
A brain monitor for the depth of consciousness for anesthesia patients.
Wow!
Because there's no a way of monitoring currently, other than physical symptoms of the anesthesia. So our monitor tracks the brainstem's response to medication. And it can be fine-tuned to an individual rather than an average of individuals, which is the way they currently do it.
Wow.
So that's quite exciting.
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. So this current project is focused on detecting autism in babies.
Wow.
And so it's been quite a journey. We have lived in New Jersey since 93. We moved. Carolyn picked Basking Ridge and the Liberty Corner Presbyterian mm-hmm. Church we've been members of since 93. So we are ensconced in the community, so to speak, and engaged in a lot of for-profit and not-for-profit enterprises. So we've been here quite a while, and we love it.
And you're a busy guy.
Yes.
Yeah, so you could kind of say you were a millennial because you switched your jobs all the time, right? Before it was like a hip, right?
Yes, exactly.
No, but all within J&J. So you just took every opportunity and learned and grew. And I mean, that's amazing, right?
Yes. Well, that's part of the J&J mystique, let's say, okay. Is they do support and encourage their employees to explore and to learn and to grow. I was able to go to Harvard Business School while I was at J&J. They sponsored me and paid for the tuition at Harvard Business School. So J&J is a very, they call themselves the family of companies, and they really believe in supporting employees as members of their family.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as an example of that, can fully support that idea because that was my experience.
Yeah.
Every 2 years, I got a new assignment, and I was blessed by it.
Yeah, that's smart. And I'm not as familiar with Ethicon. What is Ethicon's role or business in that?
Well, Ethicon is one of the larger and oldest divisions of Johnson & Johnson. The product line is intended for wound closure. So anytime you have surgery, your wound needs to be closed, and so those strings and needles that you see,
okay.
If you've ever had surgery, that comes from Ethicon. They're the most prominent and innovative wound closure business in the world. They have a worldwide position in almost every country in the world. So when you say surgery, the next word out of your mouth needs to be Ethicon mm-hmm. because they can't do surgery without Ethicon.
Wow.
So Ethicon is a great old line. I think the third product of Johnson & Johnson was sutures and needles in the 19th century. So it's an old business, yet it's still very prominent and growing and exploring new technologies for wound closure, including skin glue, if you've ever heard of skin glue.
I have heard of that, I think.
Yeah, so J&J innovated skin glue, and now they're working on internal adhesives to sew up wounds inside your body.
Wow.
So it's a very comprehensive surgical business that calls on most surgical specialties. The most prominent, of course, are cardiovascular surgery and general surgery. So it's a very big business, old line business for J&J, and it really carries the Johnson & Johnson logo proudly.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's incredible. All right, well, how are we doing here? We're chugging right along. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. We are on Facebook Live today. You can look that up at Happy Hunterdon or Happy to Help. And today we're talking with Andy Stewart, who is the CEO of Autism Diagnostic Technologies. He's had a long and illustrious career at J&J and with quite a few startups since leaving the corporate world. And we're here to talk about Autism Diagnostic Technologies. So kind of tell us why you started it, what it is, what it does, all that good stuff.
Yes. I became engaged with a group that is quite interesting because they searched universities for patents that could be licensed. And not just any patents, but patents that they believed could be transformational in the individual markets, whether they're industrial markets or medical markets. So the criteria of selection for these different licenses was the transformational potential of the technology. And in my case, this autism technology is based on 3 patents that the University of Louisville developed that we believed had the potential to change dramatically the way autism is discovered in children and diagnosed in children. And so we've been working on this project for 2 years. We do have a license. Our little business does have a license from the University of Louisville that's a worldwide license and exclusive. As long as we pay their license fee, we have the license. And so what the technology is able to do is it builds a 3-dimensional map of the brain. We were talking about our children learning about the brain.
Yeah.
So this technology builds a 3-dimensional map of the brain and then does what are called SFARM measurements. spherical harmonics is the actual technical name, but it makes measurements between different regions of the brain and looks for disconnects or malformations of the brain that might lead to autism. Because autism, as we all have heard in our everyday lives, how prominent this disease is now. One in 59 births in the U.S. Will ultimately end up being diagnosed with autism. And in New Jersey, it's even a higher rate. Right. It's the highest rate in the country of one in 49 births, 80% of which are in boys. Yep. So if you just look at the boy birth rate for autism, it's like one in 25 births of boys.
Wow.
Will end up with autism. So it's a very big concern. It's a horrible disease that it's on a spectrum. So from least impacted to most impacted, it deserves to have a new way to detect it and diagnose it so that we can treat it earlier. Now, there is no ultimate treatment for autism, but there are interventions, let's say, and support that the patient can receive. And the earlier they receive these interventions, the better off they do. And we believe that early detection of autism will produce a 400%, now that's a big number,
yeah.
400% improvement in the life productivity of an autistic patient.
Wow.
That means normal schools, potentially, normal work life, independent living after school can be produced if we can get the patients identified early enough so that speech pathologists and neurologists and others who treat these children can have an early run at their disease and sort of intervene earlier. Now, today, on average in this country, the child receives a diagnosis at 4.5 or 5 years of age. Normally, when they're getting ready to go into school, the mother brings the child because the child has some difficulty, either in speech or some other form of development. And that starts a long quest for visiting specialists like neurologists or pediatricians or psychologists to determine what is the difficulty's source. And that quest often takes 2 years to complete. And in New Jersey, because there's such a prominence of this disease, you can often wait a year to see a specialist. So a pediatric neurologist often will give a 6 month to a year appointment to the referral from a pediatrician. So this is a big deal. This is a very prominent, concerning disease, and the way it's diagnosed has really not changed since the disease was established by the federal government as a collection of different symptoms. Originally, each element of autism was treated as a separate disease, from Asperger's, which are often savant-like people. Bill Gates is an Asperger's person. To a non-speaking a child. So that range from Asperger's to non-speaking is considered the spectrum. And some children really have very minor difficulties, but they are also on the spectrum of the disease. But the way that it's diagnosed and you receive as a family this diagnosis is required to trigger insurance reimbursement for the care and the treatment of your child takes a long time, and it's a very subjective diagnosis. There is no technology. There's no objective tests now for diagnosis of autism, not like a blood test where you go to the doctor and remove some blood, and they run these tests, and they say your sugar level is this. Well, we all believe that. That's an objective test. Autism is not like that.
It's behavioral, right?
Yeah, it's behavioral, and you're subject to discussions with the doctor or maybe some written testing, but there is no objective criteria established that says this child has autism and will start to exhibit symptoms at a later state. So that's what our technology does. We have the patient take an MRI scan under their doctor's orders, then the doctor sends us the test. This is in a future state when right. we're in business.
Yeah.
And the doctor would send us the MRI scan, and in 20 minutes, we can convert that MRI scan through this 3D mapping technique into an assessment report for the doctor that says autism is present or autism is not present in the brain of this patient.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, that's very exciting. Well, and what, because they're going to be, the brain scan's going to happen in infancy probably, right? And so do they go based on factors from the parents' genome or HIT family
well,
history?
Well, that's a great question. So the way we, there is no market right now for this technology, so we have to create the market, so to speak. High-risk families will be our initial target, and that's a family that already has autism mm-hmm. and the mom is pregnant with another child.
Okay.
And, of course, in that scenario, the parents are very concerned, does this new baby have autism or not? Mm-hmm. The incidence rate when you already have autism in the family is double the incidence rate when you don't have mm-hmm. it in the present. So it's almost like 1 in 12 births when you
wow.
are at high risk. So we will target initially the doctors who serve the high-risk families mm-hmm. and those families who are most sensitive to the presence of autism will be, let's say, targeted in a marketing sense to have a brain scan done of this baby at the earliest moment. We're suggesting maybe at 6 months of age.
Mm-hmm.
At Morristown Hospital, if you go up there, they have an autism center,
mm-hmm.
and they have a way of doing brain scans on children that is very comfortable for the child and the mother. Typically, the mother goes in for the MRI scan with the baby, who's asleep when the scan takes place, and then the doctor would send us the scan data over the internet, and as I say, in 20 minutes, we can send a report back to the doctor. This baby does not have autism, or this baby has the identifying malformations that indicate autism.
Wow, that is amazing and so needed. So I think everybody knows somebody who's got autism or someone with it. My nephew's on the spectrum. Like, he's high-functioning, but he's definitely – and they identified it in preschool.
Right.
So, I mean, we're all familiar with it. But the other question I have is, so you're identifying it as an infant, but a lot of times they – what I've understood from my very limited knowledge is that the babies will develop normally, but then at about 18 months is when
right.
the signals shift or something.
Well, they start to exhibit the symptoms of autism.
Right.
So very often mothers will report that the baby will not look at me.
And not till 18 months, though?
Well, sometimes it's earlier, sometimes it's later. Mm-hmm. So this spectrum is complex and misunderstood by the lay people like you and me. If you have an autistic child in your family, there's something a little different about the way they interact with you. And that's an early sign.
Now, but even from the get-go, from like 4 months, 5 months, do you think, or it just depends?
Well, it depends.
Okay.
But we believe, and we've tested this on 1,200 cases.
Okay.
About 10% of those are on babies. So we've run this test on already diagnosed individuals. Sorry about that.
No worries.
And so these 1,200 tests, already diagnosed patients, indicates that our test is over 90% successful or specific in identifying this disease. So in the case of a high-risk family who has a baby that indicates a normal development at, let's say, 4 or 5 months of age, but we find autism in their brain, what the family can do is immediately start to seek the help of a speech pathologist.
Mm-hmm.
30% of these children end up with speech difficulties, mm-hmm. from no speaking to difficulty speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a speech pathologist tell me that if I can get to the baby before they start to speak, I can produce a normally speaking child
wow.
By the time they're two.
Okay.
So,
wow.
So that's very encouraging.
Yeah, and most kids, a lot of them don't even speak till two anyway, but that's the rub, right? When you're waiting, because the spectrum for starting to speak is so varied, and so by the time you realize, no, this isn't normal, it's a problem, then you're already too late, right?
Well, and then you go into this waiting system of, can I see the neurologist?
Yeah.
Well, yes, but you have to wait until July of next year to get an appointment. And so it's very difficult. And so armed with our test, which is sort of like a blood test of the brain, let's say, you would have an objective result that you could take and get your diagnosis earlier, and therefore you can begin your treatments with that confidence that we now know what is behind this delay in development or this difficulty in development of my child.
So are you in the process of where you're trying to get enough test cases and enough data built up so that you can go for FDA approval, which then lets you get to the market? Or how does this process work? I have no clue.
Well, that is the question the investors are all asking me. What is the roadmap from where you are today to being on the market? And we believe that the 1,200 tests we've already done is sufficient to make an application to the Food and Drug Administration for marketing clearance. We're not like a pharmaceutical compound that has side effects that you have to measure and be concerned about.
Right.
Our product does not touch patients. It only advises doctors. So we believe that we have a safe and effective product. Once we complete the developmental engineering work to convert the software from a university-based research tool into a finished product that we would control. So the FDA does require us to sort of be operational with our product before we apply, and we believe that will take about 9 months of time after I've raised this capital to start the actual company.
Oh, well, that sounds exciting, because then you've got to hire the developers and more scientists and all the STEM people.
Well, we have to hire engineers now.
Engineers, okay.
Yeah. So the sponsor of our project is Dr. Manuel Casanova. He was at the University of Louisville for 14 years doing this research. He knew about the presence of malformations, but he had not linked them to autism. He was suspicious about this presence of malformations in the brain. And when you think of it, if you imagine the brain's shape in the frontal cortex, which is the front of the brain, it looks like folds of, you know, any material or tissue. And we believe that in some boys, the skull is a fixed size, and the brain in autistic boys may be enlarged to a degree that these folds become disconnecting of these regions of the brain where speech is possible or behavior due to the enlarged brain fitting within a too small skull. That's one of the theories that led Dr. Casanova to apply to NIH. He received $3 million in grants over these 14 years, and he started to study the brains of already diagnosed people to see if he could link the malformations to their autism. And he has written a book called Defining Autism. Any of your listeners can go on Amazon and get a copy of this book by Dr. Manuel Casanova and his wife, who helped him write the book. It sort of defines this journey that we're all on of how do we define autism and how do we detect it. And his research led to these patents. So we now have three patents, which is very exciting. So we have a unique and a powerful technology that we're waiting now to get it on the market.
And how did these patents come to your attention? You said you did a search and then you just came upon him. So he had the patents, but he didn't have the wherewithal to transition.
Right. Most universities are not in the business of starting companies, so they look for partners. Mm-hmm. So they all have business development offices in most universities. Rutgers has one. Mm-hmm. And so our team identified this patent for autism and thought to themselves, well, we don't know anything about medicine, but we know somebody who does. And so they called me.
Oh, nice.
based on my 30 years with Johnson & Johnson, yeah. and said, would you consider heading up this project to start this company? And that was 2 years ago.
So excited. Well, and obviously you've transitioned from corporate with the other startups that you did. Right. Any of them go public, or is there any other exciting?
Well, the depth of consciousness monitor, that's what we call it,
that's what you said.
Is closest to the market right now.
So exciting.
Yes, it is.
Wow. That's like psychedelic, because, I mean, do you really want to go there? Like, I'm just kidding. No, it's just so key, and anesthesiology is key.
Well, you know, 10% of patients who get general anesthetic are either overdosed or underdosed. Mm. So when you're overdosed, you come out of surgery and you have tremendous headaches and sluggishness due to the over-application of anesthesia medicine. And when you're underdosed, you wake up during surgery.
That's freaky.
So a lot of people experience that.
Oh.
And so it is this technology for monitoring the brainstem. It will be very useful to anesthesiologists who are in the operating room when you're having your surgery, but they're monitoring your vital signs, and there's a delay of response in those vital signs to what's going on in the brain. Our technology would bridge that and show the anesthesiology the state of the brain during surgery.
That's very cool. I mean, just more tools at their disposal. I mean, they do amazing work anyway, but that's got to be so tough. I'm still in awe of all this modern medicine we have. I mean,
well, you know, in the 90s, the federal government designated that decade as the decade of the brain.
Yeah.
So they sponsored a lot of research in different areas of the brain. And now here we are, right, like 30 years later, and some of these technologies and areas of study are starting to produce real results and products to treat different areas of concern for the brain.
Yeah, and it's still kind of the great unknown, right? The gray matter is the gray area, right? You have no clue. I mean, well, they've identified so much, right? But it's still, there's still all these things about it that with the brain connection to the gut, you know, and the mind and body. I used to think the mind and body were completely separate, but, you know, they're all connected, right?
Right. In the case of autism, we see a lot of patients have multiple, manifestations of their autism from difficulties in digesting food that we think is linked to their autism.
Wow.
A lot of seizure activity in the brains of children who have autism. About 30% of the children will experience some seizure activity. So you're right. The brain is not an isolated organ, and there's a lot of interaction in the full body of the patient given their brain, let's say, disorder.
Yeah, and even non-tangible, like spiritual, what, you know, the environment. I mean, I don't know, we can go crazy here with all this stuff, but maybe it's a good time just to delve briefly into, this is a show about giving back and helping others, and this would give back to the community in a huge way, to everybody, to science, and to many families who are suffering with diagnosis and struggling.
Yeah, and particularly here in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, we have so many families. I had a family tell me that they went to see a specialist with their child, and it took them 10 years to ultimately give them a diagnosis.
What?
Now, can you imagine that in this day and age? So you're, as a family, concerned, and yet you receive multiple reviews of your case by different specialties, from a pediatrician who said this child is normal to a pediatric neurologist who said, I suspect autism, but let's watch the child further. That is not uncommon in this day and age because doctors do not have an objective test they can rely on to help them with this diagnosis.
Right, and you know your kid, right? You know your kid, so you know when something's off.
Something's not right.
Yeah, that's frustrating, so frustrating. So this would be incredible. So have they made any progress to figure out what is causing the enlarged brain, or they have no clue, right? Why is it all of a sudden...
Well, we don't. And why, in fact, do boys have such a preference for this disease as compared to girls? Not to say that girls don't get autism, but 80% of the disease is in boys. What would cause that? So both boys and girls are exposed to the same environment, the same, risks of autism, yet the disease affects mainly boys. We don't understand that. And as I say, that's leading researchers to consider the size of the brain. Boys are not as smart as girls. Sitting in front of two women
of course.
Here, I can say that. But boys' brains are larger.
Okay.
So perhaps it is the physical size of the brain that contributes to this disease in boys, but we're just not sure.
Right. It could be hormones. It could be like the chromosome different, right? I mean, could be anything, right?
So could be.
Just another, we had the guy from Students to Science on last week. He lives in Basking Ridge as well. But just all the more emphasis that people need to go into STEM.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's right.
Yeah. You need to be a pediatric neurologist. We need more of those, right?
So Nicole, I mentioned that I've been working on this project for 2 years. And what I'm engaged primarily with right now is raising capital. So I am reaching out to investors in Hunterdon and Somerset counties to try to receive the seed capital necessary to start the company and launch this this objective test. So that is my primary activity right now. Mm-hmm. I never knew I would be dealing with investment bankers and Wall Street in New York.
You've done it already. You can just add this to your resume.
So, yes. So I am on a daily a journey here to try to, as somebody told me originally, you don't find investors, they find you, which is an interesting idea. So we are with an investment bank in New York City, and they have clients, and so they're introducing this idea to their clients to consider investing the seed capital necessary. We ultimately need about $10 million to make the company operational, but $3 million is needed to get FDA approval. Mm-hmm. So we're focused on the $3 million currently and hoping that in the between now and the end of the first quarter, we can complete that capital raise and actually begin the engineering work to apply to the FDA.
All right, so you heard it. Give to CEO or give to Autism Diagnostic Technologies, right? So,
yes.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, there's definitely a lot of, I say in Basking Ridge, you throw a rock and you hit an MIT, Harvard, investment bank, you can hit.
Yeah, so any of your listeners who wants more information about investing could go to castleplacement.com. Okay. That's castleplacement.com. And there, all our financial disclosures, all of our technology, patents, publications about our technology are on their website. And so you could explore more information about ADT, Autism Diagnostic Technologies, on their website.
Okay. And does private equity get involved as well, or is investment, so those two separate animals?
Yes, we're both reaching out to individual investors. Let's call them angel investors, or funds. So
private equity funds, okay.
Yeah, or insurance companies. I spoke to an insurance company in Thailand.
Wow,
can you imagine?
Nice.
Little Andy Stewart from Basking Ridge was on the phone with an insurance company in Thailand. So this journey, it's amazing, Nicole, where it's taken me and Carolyn. So we're very excited about. We think we're well positioned right now. All the information that is needed to raise this capital is now available, and it's publicly available. So we're very hopeful that in the next 90 or 120 days, we can complete this phase and actually start the application process through engineering of our product.
That's cool. Ready to launch. That's ready to go. Yeah. No, well, I mean, Hunterdon Medical Center, there's medical people all over as well and investors and things. So I think hopefully we'll have some listeners out there who are intrigued enough by this. I mean, it's a huge problem. I mean, you want to change the world. This is how to do it, right?
Well, you know, one of my assignments when I was with J&J, I served on the board of Somerset Medical Center, and I became the chairman of the board for Somerset Medical Center when we built a new emergency room, and we built a cancer center, which Carolyn was on the committee for the development of the cancer center. So that took place when I was chairman of the board. And one of the things that we did in our new emergency room that has over 30 rooms is we built 4 mental health rooms that, with a lockable door, so that we did see a lot of patients coming to the hospital. that had some sort of mental difficulty. And so we developed a special area in the emergency room so they could be safe, the employees could be safe, while assessing what was wrong with them. So it was, as I say, this journey with J&J included a stop as a board member of a hospital. So I experienced a lot seeing the other side of this question of products and uses of products. We were buyers of products in my role as chairman of the board. And so I have an understanding of both sides of the uses and the development of these products. And so I really understand that this product could make a world of difference for not only doctors, but the families of these patients who are left wondering for months and months and months, what is wrong with my child? And we have an answer.
Yeah, which is incredible, because all this technology is great, but until you get to at the end of the day, you want to be helping people and where it hurts or where it hits home, and health is wealth, right? So
yes.
and helping your child is, or a family member or whatever, that's...
Well, you know, when you consider the callings in life that we have, that's the number one calling, is to care for and love your family members. And so this is very consistent with that calling of care for your children and your, in our case now, our grandchildren. And so I'm so excited that this technology can help families at the end of the day here in New Jersey and around the world who are left hanging by the system, not knowing what is wrong with my child.
Yeah, navigating the system is an education in and of itself, right? Yeah, so it's got to be hard. So I'm thankful, health is wealth. I'm thankful every day for my health. And the other thing that I try to portray on the show or get the message out is that happiness, true happiness, comes through helping others, whether it's your family members or volunteering in the community or volunteering globally. That's why I love to highlight different people doing amazing work in the world for others, selfless work. And I say it's selfish for me because I have so much fun. So it's selfish and selfless in the same breath.
Well, Carolyn and I recently went to the Autism Speaks walk on Jones Beach,
really?
In New York.
Oh.
And there were 2,000 families there and a lot of service providers. And we went around to all the booths and introduced ourselves and our new technology.
Nice.
The excitement on the faces of these service providers to realize that we're this close to an objective test for this disease was so exciting to people who I had just met. So it confirmed to me that we are on the right path here.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning. This is Nicole. Carolyn, you're on air. Okay, good morning. This is Nicole Smith. We're back here at Happy to Help on 100 in Chamber Radio. And today we are talking with the CEO of Autism Diagnostic Technologies, Inc., Andy Stewart. And he's given us fascinating statistics about autism and diagnosis and the new technology available. So why don't we recap what we talked about, how people can look at the reports and invest if you're looking to invest in cutting-edge technology that's going to solve a huge global problem.
Right. I would just say in summary, Nicole, and thank you so much for having us today. We are developing a technology that has been tested 1,200 times on patients, including babies, for the purposes of detecting autism in their brain. And that will support the diagnosis by doctors of the disease. And we are at the part of the business development cycle where we're starting this company. So thus far, we've been really reaching out to the investment community to say we need seed capital to actually pay salaries and buy engineering services and all other forms of business development that we need to actually start the company. So we're in the last step of that process, which is the capital raise. And as I mentioned before, we are targeting $3 million, which when I talk to investment bankers, they're normally trying to raise $100 million or $200 million.
Let me write you a check
so
right now.
You only need $3 million? Yeah. Are you sure? Yes, that's all we need right now to start the company. And so we are focused on that, and we're hoping that in the next 90 or 120 days, we can complete that capital raise. We've raised about $500,000 thus far, mm-hmm. So we need about $3 million more to complete this cycle. And then the business will actually be operational. We can rent office space and pay salaries and hire employees and so forth. So that's the stage that we're in now.
Yeah.
But I want to reiterate something you just said, that helping others is really the source of happiness. Now, when Carolyn and I came to New Jersey about 30 years ago, we discovered at Liberty Corner Presbyterian Church, a church that was focused on mission work. And we didn't really understand at that time what that meant. We know that the church was engaged with people in the community or in like foreign countries like Honduras. And we started to explore that in our own lives. And I started a food bank support system at Liberty Corner Church a couple of years ago. For your listeners, there is a food bank in Plainfield that serves the primarily Hispanic community. And most of those people are non-English-speaking Hispanic, let's say, immigrants. And so Liberty Corner Church sponsored this food bank. We supported it. We helped the pastor of this church in Plainfield gather together the food and serve the food once a month. So we also visited Honduras early on in our membership at Liberty Corner, and we experienced a school that the church started there, which serves over 200 children who could not otherwise go to school. They were too poor to buy uniforms or shoes, which was a requirement in the public schools in Honduras. So we started a school. It's about 20 years ago now.
Wow.
And that school is still in existence. Several hundred members of Liberty Corner have gone to Honduras and helped support that school. And they all come back reporting this joy that comes from service. And we've experienced that. Carolyn is involved in a mission now serving children in Malawi, Africa, 6,000 orphan children in the outskirts of the capital city are unserved, no schooling, no food, no electricity. And so this mission is focused on those children. And maybe in a future episode, we can have the director come and explain more about the Malawi mission. But I fully support not only my work in autism, but now my work in the mission field, so to speak, is my focus. And I get so much more than pay could provide in satisfaction and joy from this work. It is tremendous.
I know. Well, I mean, you get so much energy. People are like, well, how do you have so much energy to do this? I said, well, it infuses me with energy. It doesn't sap my energy. And the line I've been using lately, or my slogan lately, because we have this Room to Read cookbook that we've done. And so I, with the cookbook that we're promoting, I say we nourish our body with food, we nurture our mind with knowledge, and we feed our soul through service to others.
Yeah.
So
that's a great statement.
Right.
I love that.
I'm going to patent that.
Yes.
Trademark that. No, but I mean, but it's true. I mean, you got the whole body, mind, soul has to be nourished and nurtured and fed on a continuing basis. And unless you can't help others unless you're full. And one way to get that piece of the pie to lift yourself up is to help others.
Yes.
Because over and over again, the statistics say that the person giving the help gives way more than the person receiving the help. I mean, it's definitely true. So.
Yeah, they get much more than they give, and it is so true. That's been our experience, and as I say, we're delighted to be engaged in a business sense, but also in this spiritual quest, so to speak, in your terms, to see what areas we can provide for other people that provides necessary means for them, but also there's a quid pro quo, not to use that phrase, but we do get something when we give.
Absolutely. And then also I always talk about how I was raised in a family that valued volunteerism, and my grandparents and my parents. And so you're doing that with your kids and your grandkids. And unfortunately, both of our soup kitchens got canceled this Sunday. I had one, you had one, and the weather, I guess God had other plans that day. No one was eating. So, but so you just go with it.
Yeah, we have at our church, we have a homeless shelter that we implement once a month. And it was very difficult because this snowstorm interrupted the transfer of these homeless people to our church, but they're now there.
Okay.
And church members are feeding them and taking care of them, mothers and babies usually, and it's such a joy.
Yeah, I want to get over there. I like to steal babies, so maybe the babies are the best. So, well, yeah, it's been very inspirational talking to you about all the autism and the work that you're doing. And any advice out there for young – I mentioned millennials before, but any advice for millennials who are entering the job force? And I always love to get the advice from seasoned executives on – What to do? Basically, is it old fashioned advice? Just put your nose to the grindstone, or I'm curious as to what your advice would be to people like my daughter who are finishing up college and entering the workforce.
Well, I would weigh in just this much. One of my jobs at J&J was hiring people, and so I have a lot of experience in receiving information from people who are interested in considering coming to work for a company. And I would say the advice I would give young people is definitely go into LinkedIn and establish a LinkedIn profile, because all the companies now use LinkedIn to identify talent. It's searchable information on the internet. So that's the first thing I would say. If you're not in LinkedIn, go establish and register in LinkedIn and create a profile in there. Including a picture of yourself, as well as your background and your educational experiences and your, let's say, non-work-related activities. And then to examine different corporations. We, here in New Jersey, have many wonderful companies, and most of them now require that you reach out to them through the company website. So when I was getting hired, the way to the interview was through somebody who was already working there. So you needed
that
a
still holds true. Who you know, not what you know.
Yeah. That can be very, very helpful, the current employees. But all of the companies now require that you go on the company website and fill out an application. So I would encourage people to create a LinkedIn profile so the company can find out about you, and go on the company website and apply for the positions you would specifically be interested in. And one other tip I would give them is your resume is not a generic tool to be handed out to other people randomly. It is specifically for a targeted job that you want and has to be structured in to give the information that would support your being hired for that specific job. So you need to change your resume for every interview. Most people are not aware of this.
Okay. Well, you got to do the work, right? You got to do, a little background work. Yep.
So those are my three tips. That's customize your resume, go on LinkedIn and create a profile, and go on the company website and apply for a job.
Perfect. And if you want to find out more about the autism diagnostic technologies, castleplacement.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nicole.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. House Judiciary Committee is now underway with its first impeachment hearing. Democratic panel chairman Gerald Nadler says,
President Trump did not merely seek to benefit from foreign interference in our elections. He directly and explicitly invited foreign interference in our elections. He used the powers of his office to try to make it happen. He sent his agents to make clear that this is what he wanted and demanded. He was willing to compromise our security and his office for personal political gain.
U.S. private sector job growth continuing to decline, it appears. It's reached a six-month low in November, according to the ADP National Employment Report. Just 67,000 new jobs created last month. That's less than half of what the experts had forecast. And this is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president in my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL. Or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Rootwall.com.
Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter pleading guilty to one count of misusing campaign funds for personal expenses. The Southern California Republican had previously pleaded not guilty to numerous charges. He now faces the possibility of several years in federal prison when he is sentenced in March. His wife Margaret pleaded guilty earlier. The couple has three kids, and Hunter says he wanted to avoid a difficult trial. Hunter's father had served as a Republican in Congress for many years before he retired. A once huge field of candidates for the Democratic presidential nomination continues to contract.
I'm not a billionaire. I can't fund my own campaign. And as the campaign has gone on, it has become harder and harder to raise the money we need to compete.
That's Senator Kamala Harris announcing in a video yesterday that she is suspending her campaign for the White House. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
California Congressman Devin Nunes is suing CNN for more than $435 million. The Republican filing the suit against the network yesterday over a report last month which linked him to a former Ukrainian prosecutor. The story says an indicted associate of Rudy Giuliani, President Trump's lawyer, was prepared to tell Congress that Nunes met with the Ukrainian about digging up dirt on former VP Joe Biden. Nunes says he